Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
And welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with wisdom and immediately actionable steps to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and their leadership. This is your host, Emerald Greenforest, and today we have an exceptional guest, Robert Kandel. Robert is a veteran of many worlds. He has spent time in corporate America and then built an international eight-figure business called One Taste. Robert is an accomplished teacher, coach, and lecturer, and has been helping singles and couples improve their lives. He's also the host of the Tough Love podcast, where he brings his enthusiasm and acumen to his beloved audience on subjects around relationships, intimacy, communication, and gender dynamics. Robert just published his first book, Unhidden, a book for men and those confused by them. So welcome, welcome, welcome to the show, Robert. I'm so excited to have you here.
It's my absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, I am just really excited because you are certainly somebody who is very clear about being called. So I want to talk about the calling, and I'd love to hear your experience of receiving the calling, maybe first out of corporate America, unless there's backstory in corporate America that is relevant. But the calling into One Taste, and now the calling into where you're headed next. So I'd love to hear about that.
Great. One Taste, I started with Nicole Dadon in 2004. But really, the calling happened in 1999. And what happened was I was as normal, straight-laced, vanilla as they came. I did go to Burning Man about 8 months prior, which really opened up my eyes to possibility. But it was March 20th, 1999, and I was taking my first class around sexuality in San Francisco, California, with a guy named Erwan Devon. And to make a long story short, I basically made a total fool of myself and embarrassed myself deeply in front of a group of people. And what happened was I just saw the depth of my ignorance. I saw how numb and dumb. I really saw how much I didn't know about myself, about my wife, my first wife, Carol, about who I was, my impact. And it was one moment of just epic explosion. And the calling for me was just that one moment of like, I can go back to my status quo and go back to the man cave and continue in my ignorance, or I can evolve, I can learn, I can go into the challenging embarrassment I just had. And I chose the latter. And that was really the doorway into this incredible life for the last 20 years.
Beautiful. I love the words numb and dumb.
Yes.
So I'd like to actually drill into that a little bit more deeply, Robert, because, you know, I really feel like most of the people listening to our show are awake, but it's quite possible that some are just awakening. So I'd love to have you talk a little bit more about the things that cause numb and dumb, and the things that you can offer to help people to, as easily as possible, transit out of that.
Well, the cause of numb and dumb in our society is being male. It's just being a man. You know, they're really, we are in, you know, inside a society that trains men to not feel. And so I also want to speak to them. I'm speaking generalities. I know there's a bell curve. And on one, at the top of the bell curve, they're intensely feeling men. Another end is really numb as they come. And really the middle, I want to just make sure I communicate that I'm speaking about that middle part of who men who know something's up but can't feel. So in our entire culture, you know, 6,000 years of the patriarchy, 6,000 years of indoctrination of men to bypass their feelings, to minimize them, to take all aspects of themselves that are feminine, emotional softness, warmth, receptivity, and put it as a second-class citizen or even ban it from our system. So the reason that I was numb and dumb is from the day I was born, I was taught, you know, I don't know if I can swear, but like, don't be a pussy, don't cry, don't be a girl. All these things that said to be strong, and strong means able to handle pain, able to move in exhaustion. All the soldier masculine stereotypes we live in teach men to disconnect. And that led me and these other men to, at that point, to not feel and not understand who I was in the world.
Yeah, beautiful. So it takes courage once you wake up, right? Once you do wake up, you could have chosen to go back to the man cave, but you didn't. So I'd love to have you talk about the self-leadership, right? That was part of your decision to not retreat into the societally conditioned, quote, norms, close quote. So talk about your courage muscle and what do you do to continue to exercise that as well?
My belief system is that when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change, people will change. That's pretty much it. So I'm an accountant. You know, I have a mathematical mind. You know, part of my life is business consulting as a financial advisor. But really, it's, you know, I have a mathematical mind. And in that moment of my embarrassment, I really just did a simple cost-benefit ratio when it came to, should I stay or should I go? And to me, it was just the cost of staying in this numb spot. To live in ignorance was so painful to me. The pain of staying the same felt so painful that I was like, okay, I got nothing to lose at this point. And so to go into it. Now, that's, you know, the call for adventure, to use Joseph Campbell's term, you know, the spark, you know, the invitation to a game, whatever. That was my invitation to the game. That's on some level the easy part. It's the maintaining of the practice that, you know, generates a man from one level to the next. For me, it was from mediocrity to mastery, was my determination to stay. And so I built a practice. And I can tell you, there were 10,000 times I wanted to quit. There were 10,000 times I wanted to go back to my status quo. I wanted to leave, you know, the gym. I wanted to leave the dojo. I wanted to get off that freaking mat because I was in pain and my ego was destroyed. And what kept me going was just this little voice saying, there's so much more I could be. There's so much more I saw. There was so much more I felt. And that's just that little voice, listening to that little voice is what kept me on that journey and continues to drive me today as I continue to learn.
Beautiful. Well, it's interesting that you said, you know, the pain is part of your philosophy. Like, you know, when the pain is greater to stay where you are than it is to take up the challenge and be courageous. What's interesting to me is that you were, you know, built an international eight-figure business called One Taste that was really pretty much focused entirely on pleasure. So it's fascinating that that kind of came out of your calling and your awakening. So I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that or if we should go in another direction.
No, I'm thrilled to talk about One Taste. It's my greatest achievement to date. Really proud of it, of the good parts. I'm sad about the parts that weren't so great. So really an open book to discuss anything. And so One Taste was about pleasure. It was focused on orgasm, specifically female orgasm. It was about sensing and feeling. Unfortunately, the subtitle or the part that's not always in the marketing is sometimes you need to go through pain to get the pleasure. You have to go through your shadow. You have to break apart the brick, the armor that we build. For me, when I started, I was lucky. I was at 28, which was relatively young. Some students came to One Taste in their 30s and 40s and built up decades of anger and repressed feelings, what author Michael Kimmel calls an aggrieved entitlement about who they should be, all these rules and regulations. And so to get to the pleasure, often you have to break apart this calcified ego structure that lived on top of us. And that was not pleasurable. And it wasn't pleasurable for our students. And once you can get through that layer to the soft, tender parts of our hearts, the warmth, to me, that's where the best sex was. That's where the best love was. That's where intimacy was. That's where I learned to actually like myself. Because when I started this journey, I was a happy guy. I was a nice guy. I was a smart guy. I was a successful guy. But I didn't really like myself. I actually really disliked myself. I had bad body image. I had bad self-esteem. And so through the journey, here I am 20 years later, and I truly, truly have powerful self-esteem, like who I am, make mistakes and own them, and really like who I've become. And that to me took a lot of work.
Well, you know, I think that speaks to really letting go of what no longer serves, which is something that I believe men on purpose and leaders, creative age leaders, really need to be able to do, to let go of what no longer serves. And so in your case, do you have any practices that you engage in that support the letting go process? Do you have any suggestions for, because you're absolutely right, layer after layer after layer. I mean, I was 38 when I had my first spiritual awakening, and it was probably at least another several years after that before I even got to the sexual part. It was more like the spiritual and the heart opening part for me. So I'd love to hear if you have any practices around letting go that you either practice yourself or that you can suggest to our men on purpose.
Yes. Well, many, many practices, and practices are very customizable. If I may, I can give you kind of my general framework for change, and then we can go down to some specifics to that specific question. So in my book, I have an appendix, which really goes over this framework of change. And so the first part is what I call confront. Confront means see, notice, because we live in these, you know, well-constructed realities. We've worked really hard to build these realities. You know, some have invested hundreds of thousands of dollars on school or, you know, worked their way a corporate ladder. And like, I worked so hard to get here, but I'm not happy. And so we get into this numb spot of just going through our daily routines. So the first thing is to confront that little voice that says, something is amiss, something's not working. And that could be a really quiet, annoying voice, but listen to it. So the first is confront. The second is to investigate. We live in an information-rich society. There's really nothing we can't find on this, you know, little square box we call a cell phone. You know, we have so much information. And so investigate that. If you have a challenge with porn, there's incredible websites out there, audiobooks, The Butterfly Effect by John Ronson. There's incredible information out there. If you have anger issues, if you have gambling challenges, if you're overweight, use our resources to investigate what's out there. The third is the most important of the whole thing, and this is the commit step. When you say to yourself, I'm committing to change, I'm not sure what this means yet, but I want to work on my relationship with my wife. I know there's a chasm between me and my children. I'm not in the right industry, but commit. Don't commit to a specific outcome. Commit to putting time and energy and effort and agency into that change. Mm-hmm. Once you've made that commitment, create a practice. Create a 28-day practice. Create a 6-month practice. Say I'm going to go to the gym every day. I did a practice of 40 yoga classes in 70 days. Just set up a practice for yourself that works for you. And then inside that practice, I recommend accountability and the right to modify it if it's not right, but really keep to your own practice. Run the practice. At the end, celebrate your success. Debrief what could do better. And then if you want, recommit to another cycle around your practice. This is, in my experience, having a framework, a specific framework, you can change anything from something small as I want to lose 10 pounds to something as large as, okay, it's time to end my marriage and really deal with, you know, this toxic relationship I'm in. So that's the general framework.
Beautiful. Well, Robert, we're going to take a short break right now. When we come back, we're going to tell people where they can find out more about you, and we can go a little bit deeper into what you've got going on in your new book, Unhidden, a book for men and those confused by them. So we are going to be right back in just a few moments. But before we go, I want to thank all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've already had thousands of downloads from all over the world. I want to shout out this week to our listeners in Barbados. Welcome, Barbados, to the Men on Purpose podcast community. And I also want to let everyone know that I am actually now enrolling in my Loving to Lead mentorship program. So if you have an interest in finding out more about that, please feel free to go to timetomakeyourmark.com and fill out the application form for a conversation with me, and we can see if you are a fit for Loving to Lead. And we will be right back with Robert Kandel.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with Robert Kandel, who is the host of the Tough Love podcast and also the author of his first book, Unhidden, a book for men and those confused by them. Congratulations on your first book. Awesome.
Thank you so
That's
much.
An awesome yeah. accomplishment. So before we went to the break, Robert, we were talking about, you know, this change initiative process that you have outlined, and the courage was the question that I had, had started with, and learning to let go of what no longer serves you. So if there's anything else that you want to talk about specifically to the letting go piece, because I think, you know, I understand what you said about committing, setting up a practice, all of those things, but sometimes those things that we want to let go of can be tenacious in holding us in an old pattern. So is there anything else you wanted to talk about specifically about the letting go piece?
Again, it's if the pain of the staying the same is greater than the pain of letting go, you know, that's where you invest it. And I think the main thing I want to say is something I spoke of quickly is don't try to do this alone. Really, it is significantly more difficult to make change without a team. And that team could be a friend, that team could be a men's group, that team could be a coach, that could be a therapist, that could be a 12-step program. It's really hard to do it by yourself. So if you want to change, if you want to let go, let's say you're in a relationship and she keeps calling and you want to call, it's like an itch. You know, you want to pick up that phone and text. You call your friend, Mike. She's texting me. She wants me to come over. She wants a booty call. It's so much fun. What do I do? And Mike be like, dude, go put the phone down, go do push-ups, write in your journal, and then meditate and then call me back. Do not answer her text. Do not answer it. So it's really about having a system for you, because it's very difficult to do by yourself.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, I'm super glad that you brought that up, because I totally believe that coaching, whether informal or formal coaching and mentorship and accountability, is absolutely essential for all of us, regardless of where we're at. And we're always changing. So let's let people know where they can find out more about you. The folks, if you want to find out more about Robert, go to robertkandel.com. And we'll put that in the show notes, but let me spell it out. It's Robert, R-O-B-E-R-T, Kandel, K-A-N-D-E-L-L.com. And there you will find a way to get in touch with Robert and listen to his Tough Love podcast. And likely he's got some other wonderful things on the site. If you want to share a little bit about specifically what you've got there, and perhaps talk a little bit about coaching. Number one, how has coaching impacted your life? Number two, you know, can you talk about any clients that you've worked with that are success stories that you would like to just let our listeners know about?
On the website, you can find my book, link to Amazon. You can find the podcast. There's courses. I do a communication workshop. I have coaching circles. I have quite a few programs. So everything can be found at robertkandel.com. In terms of coaching, I can say that my entire life changed from that one class on March 20th, 1999. I then coached with Erwan, and he really saw. And I spent quite a bit of money, several hundred thousand dollars on programs. And it was an investment in myself. But I can tell you, I could have spent that on a nice car, or I could spend that on investment. And I can tell you, the investing in myself was way worth it. In terms of success stories, I've been really proud of some of my experience with my clients. In terms of business side, you know, the two things that most guys tend to have an issue with that's stopping them from business is what I call psychology and leverage. The psychology of not believing you're worthy, or overwhelming yourself, or anger issues, or communication issues. It's really around psychology. Tony Robbins says that the success of the business is based on the psychology of the owner. So I've taken businesses and doubled their income. My longstanding client, we've went from 1.45 million to 3 million in 2.5 years, which is really exceptional. In the life coaching side, I can tell you about this one success story. I have permission to speak and written an article about him too. It's a guy named Steve. And Steve's wife cheated on him with another man. And he was crestfallen, and he was in his masculine rage, and he was ready to leave her, and he was blaming her, and they were passively aggressively, you know, throwing knives at each other and themselves. And I had a conversation with him, and to make a very long story short, she was communicating to him for a year, I don't want to be monogamous, I want more. He shut her down. And then what happened was she cheated, which is not the best method to get a man's attention, but it worked. And then he had a choice. He could look at the mediocre aspect of their relationship where she wasn't happy and he wasn't happy, bypass the legal anger of the betrayal, and then really work. And I can tell you, this guy, a year later, his relationship's improved. She's happy. He's happy. They're deeper. They're more intimate. He moved from Pennsylvania to California. He has his dream job. And that all has to do with his willingness to say yes, not get stuck in the, you know, the legal, she did something to me, but into the transition of, wow, how did I co-create this? And how do I actually re-co-create it to have the life that I've always wanted? So there's an article about him on my website.
Beautiful. Well, it sounds to me like also you helped him to really take personal responsibility for being a creator. And so I'd love to talk to you about the creation process, because leaders and men on purpose are creative. They're Yes. co-creative. And so I would love to know what inspires you to take the leap and get into inspired action.
Inspiration and desperation is what I often say there. A lot of times I've put myself in situations where I had no choice. I've been in the self-sabotaging streak and put myself in difficult financial situations, or I put myself in difficult relationship situations and been like, okay, you know, time to put my boots on, time to, you know, crawl myself out of this hole. But really, I'm lucky that I've lived a life mostly of inspiration, and I'm inspired personally by this belief that men can live full, empowered, healthy lives. The book is written for that guy who's doing good and know there's a lot of things better. There's so many up levels, because from the spot of my life is good and I want to get better, there's so much more possibility. And so my inspiration comes from offering this to a man to say, okay, I want this. How do I have this? And I really wrote a pragmatic guide for him to have it. So really, my personal journey has been a lot of, this is great. Now, where's the next mountain to climb? Or what's the next adventure? And my self-esteem is built about saying what I wanted, staying inside my integrity and having it. And my life keeps getting better and better and better.
Beautiful. Well, the final question that I have for you, Robert, mm-hmm. is how do you celebrate? Because I think you mentioned celebrate earlier. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people are conditioned, part of the conditioning, and it's now spilled over to women as well as men, is just keep driving. Oh, we achieved one thing. We broke through that barrier. We just keep going. And there's so little support in the culture for celebrating when an achievement has been accomplished. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I feel like the celebration is the fuel that allows you to go, you know, look at that next mountain. So can you talk about how you celebrate and, you know, what you're celebrating right now?
I think celebrating is not just good, it's mandatory. Because it is tough out there. It is tough to be a man. It's tough to succeed. It's getting easier in a lot of ways, but it's getting harder in other ways. And so celebrating to me is mandatory, because that's the juice. So I have this little thing every time I make a sale. I don't care if it's a $9 product. I don't care if it's a, you know, $5,000 consulting package. I do a little fist wave. Like I do a little you know, like it's mostly by myself, but I go boom, but you know, like it's just like every single time, because there's actually biological systems where success begets more success. You actually can train your brain to see success. And so by dancing or fist bumping or whatever, that's the first thing. My second wife, Morgan, my love, I'll say to her, can I brag for a second? And she's like, yes. And I'd be like, I just sold this coaching package for $3,000. She's like, way to go. And so it's a combination of one, believing in myself that I deserve her congratulations, which is a big thing. Like, I have to be in reception. I have to be value myself to have it. Two, it creates more intimacy between her and I. And three, it's just a nice feeling in my body because my success is her success. And so it's a way to combine. And the main thing I'm celebrating right now is publishing the book, which I did in about a year. And it was a ride and a half. It took 10 versions, you know, a lot of time, a lot of energy, but I'm super proud of it. And I'm getting really good feedback from it. So I'm celebrating one, publishing, and two, people liking it, which feels really good.
Well, of course they're going to like it, Robert, because...
Well, you don't know. You know, like, I was a little nervous.
The people for whom it's for are going to like it.
That's my hope. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm so excited and I'm really glad to celebrate. Five claps, your new book, and it's a pleasure to be part of the promotion of that. So, listeners, we absolutely love your feedback. Please let us know what you thought of today's show or send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners@menonpurposepodcast.com. We might even give you a shout out on the show. Thanks for tuning in. Keep your ears open. And remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on iTunes and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows that now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.